Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, those listening to the recording of today's service. Glad to have each one of you with us on this 22nd day of June 2024. Praise God for bringing us safely through another week to another Sabbath day. And what a joy it is to come before Him in praising Him from whom all blessings flow. So welcome, dear ones. And before we get into our study book, who would like to open our service with prayer? Please go right ahead.
We can all bow our heads and our hearts as we go boldly before the throne of God for our meeting today and for anyone among us that may be going through any affliction. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit may be able to soften our hearts to receive the manna from heaven, Father Jesus. Help us that we may be able to be attentive to every information that is given today, the privilege, Father, to be able to be in a capacity as we are doing right now. Help us to treasure the time, Father Jesus. Help us to be able to sit with our children, our loved ones, our friends, for these times, Father, that we may proclaim the Sabbath truth as never before, Father Jesus. May you be with the speaker, be with Elder Rob, may you allow the calls from heaven to touch his lip, and may you give us ears to hear and the Holy Spirit to bring understanding to each and every one that are here. And for those that are not here, Father Jesus, wherever they may be, please may they have a wonderful Sabbath as well. We thank you and we love you for giving peace all our sins and our iniquity, that it will not become a hindering, Father Jesus, for receiving the gift that you have in store for us today. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. We are continuing in our study book, which is Christ Object Lessons. We're in chapter 23 that's titled The Lord's Vineyard. We're in the subsection titled The Church of Today, and we left off about two-thirds of the way on page 299 last time to the paragraph that starts out, To Praise God. And the last thing that we were discussing is that God desires those that have accepted Jesus as their Savior to be grateful, to be joyous, because through Christ, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can lay all of our burdens and cares upon Him because He is our burden bearer. So there's cause for rejoicing because our sins have been forgiven. We receive grace and strength to become the children of the Most High. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So through Christ, paradise is ours. Eternal life is ours. And that's cause for rejoicing because we don't have to worry about what may take place on this earth. We don't have to worry about if sickness takes us away and we end up dying. This isn't our final rest. Our final rest is with the Lord, when He comes again to take us home, and we'll be with Him forevermore. So that's a cause to rejoice, to be grateful, to be appreciative. But if we don't keep that goal, if we don't keep that sight in our mind, And we end up becoming depressed about things not going our way, or depressed about what we see in the world, or depressed about whatever it may be, then we're not giving a right representation of God. We're not showing our appreciation for the great sacrifice he made and for his righteousness that we live in. And so when people look at us and they know that we're Christians, but they don't see that we're very happy about it, it's giving them a wrong impression on what a true Christian is. And so they're not attracted to it. We may share with them the truth, but they don't see the truth in us. And so then they're not attracted to the truth that we're sharing with them. So if Christ is in your heart, you have every reason to be joyful about it. If just the truth is in your heart and not Christ, then there's a problem, and it will be reflected in your life. So the truth has to go from here, and Christ has to be enthroned. And if Christ is in you, you have that hope of glory, and that's something to be grateful about. So that's where we left off. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. To praise God in fullness and sincerity of heart is as much a duty as is prayer. We are to show to the world and to all the heavenly intelligences that we appreciate the wonderful love of God for fallen humanity, and that we are expecting larger and yet larger blessings from his infinite fullness. Far more than we do, we need to speak of the precious chapters in our experience. That's personal testimonies. After a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, our joy in the Lord and our efficiency in his service would be greatly increased by recounting his goodness and his wonderful works in behalf of his children. So far more than we do, we need to give our personal testimony of what God has done for our souls. And if we did so, God would be more greatly praised. Others would be greatly increased in their efficiency, which is interesting, and their joy in the Lord. So when we give our personal testimony, it's not just ourselves that are being benefited by sharing the good things God has done for us, but others who listen are also increased in joy and efficiency. It's like we've given them a shot in the arm, right? They're more willing to go out and work for God in seeking to save the lost. All that just from our testimony, which is quite amazing, dear ones. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Please go right ahead.
We don't praise him enough, that's for sure. We're always saying, give me, give me, give me. Do this, do that, do the other. But many prayers I've heard don't seem to praise him. You know, the word praise is never used in many prayers, and we need to use it more.
I see in here where it says, dear brother, where it's after a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it precursors everything else that would follow. So is that saying that this is something that's necessary to be empowered to do all these things, or we should just follow through with the mind and emotions and things like that?
Yeah, understand, dear brother. You can have the Holy Spirit being poured out, like in this home church here. You can have the Holy Spirit being poured out and only one or two people may receive the Spirit in their hearts. The rest do not recognize him. The rest do not accept him. Because the only channel through which the Spirit operates is the truth. So if you receive the truth into your heart, you're actually receiving the Holy Spirit into your heart, and he brings Jesus. So you're receiving Jesus into your heart. So you can have the Holy Spirit being poured out, but only a few, not everyone, will open their hearts to receive him. And those who open their hearts to receive the Spirit will be increased in joy, will be increased in efficiency by recounting God's goodness and his wonderful works in behalf of his children. So if the Spirit is in your heart, then you're going to want to give praise to God. You're going to want to give a personal testimony. So, you know, we don't want to fake it by being hyped up on emotion and letting emotion carry away, because that's a counterfeit, right? But we also don't want to suppress our emotions and become very dry and formal. And so to know where that difference is to allow the Spirit to enter into your heart. And he will only enter into your heart through the reception of truth. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, is they're praying for the outpouring of the Spirit in mighty power so that they can go out and give the loud cry and end this great controversy. And they don't recognize that it's by the reception of truth into your heart that the Spirit comes there. And so they may be rejecting the truth and thus preventing the Spirit from coming into their heart, and that's who they're praying for.
I think the most important clause for the believers is the question, do you believe? Do you really, really believe? And if you do, honestly, I think the Spirit will be at your side. So it's very important that you believe in the Lord, that you believe in his message, that you believe that there is salvation for you, and never doubt.
Amen. Amen. And if you truly believe, you'll back it up with actions. So if you truly believe in the truth, then you'll back it up by following it. So amen, dear brother. Faith and works combined enable you to live like Christ. Any other thoughts or comments? When the Holy Spirit was poured out in the early rain upon the disciples in the upper room there, what happened afterwards?
What was the question?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The question was, after the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost in the early rain upon the disciples, what happened afterwards? What did all the disciples do afterwards?
Didn't they all speak in different languages?
Yes. They were giving their testimonies in praising God and in spreading forth the truth as it was in Jesus. And they were able to speak in different languages so that everyone that had gathered there for Pentecost could be able to hear them praising God, giving glory to God, exalting Jesus who had been crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected and ascended to heaven. So they were compelled, empowered, zealous to go out and reveal the great things that God had done for their souls. In other words, they were giving their personal testimony and exalting Christ. So when the Spirit fills your heart, you won't be able to keep your mouth closed. You'll have to share the good things that God has done for your soul with others. It could just be your family members, could be your neighbors, could be anyone. You have to let others know. Comment. So what exactly is Pentecost now? Because the churches have weeks of Pentecost. Yeah, you have the 7 weeks, the 49 days, and the 50th day is Pentecost. But that was literal, and literal's been replaced with spiritual now. So it's not that we continue to keep 49 days, 7 weeks, and then on the 50th day is Pentecost. It's not that we keep the literalness of it today. But it's the spiritual aspect today. And in the spiritual aspect, the Holy Spirit is not just waiting for a particular day each year to be poured out upon individuals. He can come to any heart that is open and is praying for God to send the Spirit to them. Which means the Holy Spirit can come upon anyone at any time in answer to their prayers. But the only way the Spirit enters into their heart is through the truth. Now, the Spirit can be working upon your mind, upon your conscience, but that doesn't mean the Spirit has entered into your heart. So the Spirit works even upon the wicked, trying to get them to recognize and understand that they're committing sin or about to commit sin. But that doesn't mean the Spirit is living and dwelling in their heart. Yeah, amen. A comment room says, like Pilate. Yeah, the Spirit was working upon the mind of Pilate, trying to get him to recognize that Jesus was indeed the Messiah and he shouldn't turn him over to the mob. But he fought against that conviction. To have the Spirit dwelling in your heart, you have to receive the truth that he's impressing upon you to accept. And the Spirit represents Jesus. Jesus is the truth. So the Spirit is impressing upon you to receive Jesus into your heart. But a lot of times, we lose the reality of Jesus being the truth. And we focus upon it as an issue of should I accept this message or should I reject this message? How is this message going to affect me if I accept it? How is my life going to change if I accept the message? We tend to minimalize it down to how it's going to affect us as to whether we should accept it or not. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do, to lose sight of Jesus in the issue. If it's the truth, it's connected with Jesus. If we accept the truth into our heart, we're accepting Jesus there. We're accepting the Holy Spirit who brings Jesus to us, right? If we would keep the issue of truth in that kind of a picture, that kind of a reality, it's Jesus standing before us. Are we going to let him into our life or are we going to keep him out? If we would look upon all aspects of truth from that perspective, a lot more people would be following the truth than they are now. So to have the Spirit into your heart, not just working upon your heart, right? Working in your heart. You have to accept the truth that the Spirit is impressing upon you. If you reject the truth, then the Spirit is not in your heart. Christ is not in your heart. So it's vitally important to recognize this controversy between truth and error, between light and darkness, between Christ and Satan, and keep it in that kind of a perspective. Any thoughts, comments? Please feel free. So to praise God in fullness and sincerity of heart is as much a duty as is praying. So how often do you pray each day? Twice? Four times? Five times? Are you praising God twice a day, four times, five times a day? So as often as we pray each day, is about how often we should be praising God each day. So you can see we need to praise God much more than what we are. And it's actually quite easy to do. When you wake up in the morning, are you grateful that God has given you life, that he's woken you up from your sleep and didn't allow your life to end while you were sleeping? Well, praise him for it. I praise you, Father, for giving me life today. Please pour your spirit upon me that I may have the grace and the strength to live a Christian life. That's very simple to do right when you wake up in the morning. You don't have to do it out loud. You just do it in your heart. God hears.
When you have that love within to give thanks, it has to be upon feeling the love that God has placed in you to be able to return that same gesture to the Lord in prayers and giving thanks as much as you can for everything, every little thing. Thank the Lord. Amen. And that praise will reach to the gates of heaven. The force of it would open those gates so that you can enter with that praise to the throne of God and lay it upon the altar. But all this takes believing with righteousness. This is not just an obligation. This is the depth of love that you demonstrate because you believe in the Lord. You believe in the Word. And the Word is Jesus, which means then you believe in Jesus. And you want to do everything you can. Praising morning, noon, and night.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Any other comments or thoughts or insights, dear one?
Well, I'm going to piggyback on my dear brother in what he's saying, because in truth, I agree. I have to truly stand and agree about that, because there are a multitude, thousands of things to praise the Lord for today. It is true that the adversary likes to slink in and distract us from the many gifts that the Lord gives us even and from our very waking up. And we open our eyes, and for those who can, they look through them and see. And for those who can't, and they can hear, they listen and they praise God. They still have that. For those who can be mobile, they get up, they get about, and they praise God for that. For all that they can touch and see, and we do, I believe that that is a lot of things to praise God for. I know that we all, you know, in this life, as the word of God says, in this world you're going to have tribulations, as the Lord said, but he has overcome the world. And there are times, I understand, it can seem very vexing walking through this world and the challenges and the various different people that we meet who do not really know the Lord, and even some that say they do, that really try our patience. Yet we have to remember, I believe, step away, calm ourselves, and praise God again. And if we didn't even pass that particular little test, praise God that maybe we will have a chance to pass it again. Because when we don't pass them, repeat them until we pass them. So there is so much to really thank and praise God for, even in the midst of our trials and tribulations. But what my dear brother is saying, it really is a debt of love. And in truth, I take it even a little deeper for myself in my heart. It's not one that can ever be repaid throughout all of eternity. It's such a great debt of love. So by God's grace, if we shall make it, we will have all through eternity to continue to praise God and glorify his name and sing praises of his love through all countless generations. Yet we have to start here, and we have to start from my understanding, as our Lord gave us example, that even in trying times, he glorified the Father. So in our trying times, we have to recover from whatever it is that may have caused us, like Peter, to stumble, recover by God's grace, for the Lord has prayed for us, and get back up and praise him in what we do from then on, and not continue to dwell on what was then. Learn from it and praise him and thank him that we have a chance to continue to learn and move on. Because what we will learn is a praise unto God for those who will learn from what it is that we have learned that we pass on will be a blessing to them and a glory to God. So it is like the Lord had said to the Samaritan woman at the well, that water that he gives isn't everlasting. Bring up water and he will give it to us to drink of it, so that in us there is that everlasting spring of water flowing out to all around us. So we want to be like that, and that takes gratitude and thanksgiving, and takes a mix of humility and praise. It takes a mix of seeing with great desire the winning of another soul into the kingdom. It's so much, and only the Holy Spirit can empower us to do that, and we can only have that as we feed on the Lord, word and in prayer. So yes, I thank God. Yeah, what my dear brother was saying, it really is, there's always something to praise God. Even when we find little things we want, we can praise God.
Also, we walk a path between life and death, beginning and end. What also is a expected of us that carries a deep love and concern for our behavior, not only for the good person, but also for the bad person that wakes up every day to try to hurt you and chastise you, and you do not return hastily in giving a bad resentment of the action. So what you do, you praise God for that person, because you don't want that person to be lost. And you praise the Lord when he listened to your prayers, when you said, Lord, forgive him or her. Lift them up. Remove the burden they might hold and carry. Purify their eyes so that they can see and they can know whatever they're doing, it's not righteous. But praise the Lord for keeping them, sustaining them, by giving thanks to him, because God is good. God is righteous. God is holy. And he knows. And he expects you to understand this, that he knows. So praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at noonday. Praise him when you're about to go to sleep. As the birds in the early morning, they sing songs of praise to their Creator. They give us the signs. They give us the notion. And they show us and remind us we must praise the Lord every minute, every moment.
Amen. Thank you, dear brothers. Comment in the room, it says, rejoicing in the Lord always, in good or bad times, because it's just the same Jesus. Amen. And the Bible also says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's good or bad times, right? Can you still praise God when things are appearing to go against you? If you do, that is an act of faith. To praise God when things are against you, when things don't go your way, when your car breaks down, or when your appliance breaks down, or when something else happens that's a big negative, right? To praise God is an act of faith, because you're recognizing he's in control, that the devil wanted to make that breakdown so much more expensive than what God allowed it to be. So God actually lessened that negative to the point that it was so much less than what the devil wanted. And you praise him for making it a little test instead of a gigantic one. That is an act of faith. That you have to have spiritual eyesight to see it that way. Because so often we focus on the negative and how it affects us instead of looking at the bigger picture. It could have been so much worse but it was for the love and the mercy from God to us that lessened it. Last night, during our book study on prophets and kings, we were dealing with Jonah. And we're to the section where he was thrown overboard and God prepared a big fish to swallow up Jonah. You don't see anywhere in that passage where Jonah was praising God for being in a big fish, in the belly of a big fish, right? But it was a cause for rejoicing because God spared the life of Jonah. If his probation would have closed, if he would have drowned in the ocean, he would have been lost because he was in active rebellion against God. So for the sin of rebellion, and rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, for that sin of rebellion, if Jonah's life would have ended being drowned in the ocean, he would have been lost. God, in mercy, preserved his life. That was a cause for rejoicing, for praising God, for sparing his life, and yet all he could think about was how miserable it was in the belly of that big fish. He focused on how things affected him. He focused upon how people would react if he went to Nineveh as God wanted and gave the message. He focused upon the negative, on they wouldn't receive his message, so it was a big waste of time. It took Jonah probably a couple months to walk from where he was, Joppa, all the way over there to Nineveh. So that 60 or so days of travel to get from where he was over to Nineveh, he looked upon the negative. It was going to be a waste of time. They're not going to listen to me. It's the capital city of Assyria. That's a part of Babylon. They've got their own particular ways, their own particular religion. They're not going to listen to me. I'm not a prophet from Israel. He focused on the negative. And he ran. But God spared his life. Now, it wasn't very pleasant to be in the belly of that big fish. It was, we were talking about how miserable it would have been in there. I mean, a fish smells fishy, right? So it's not very pleasant to be there. But anyways, even in the bad, as our dear brother Joel was sharing, there's cause for praising God because it could have been so much worse.
Some years back, at an evangelistic series, a preacher named Dedamore was addressing praising the Lord. And his thing was jump for joy when something goes wrong, because God's going to show you a miracle. And I remember we got a couple of blocks from our house one Sabbath. We were going to take a Sabbath trip and the car broke down. Something went wrong with the car. And my husband pulled over to the side of the road and got out, lifted the lid, the hood over the motor. He looked at the motor and he did a little jump. And someone had pulled alongside of us to see if they could help us. And the man asked my husband, "What are you doing?" And my husband said, "Well, I'm jumping for joy." And he just looked at him kind of funny. He says, "God's going to show me a miracle." And that's one way to praise the Lord, is to see what God's going to do to help you out of your mess. And he will. Sometimes you know nothing about it. We could have been involved in a serious accident had we gone on and not paused at that point. But I'll tell you, God is with you, whether you're feeling good or whether you're feeling bad. He's there to help you, and he wants to show you a miracle so you can tell others about his great love for them too.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Any other thoughts or comments or testimonies, dear ones?
You sure that fish didn't drop Jonah off just as close to Nineveh as he could? Speaking of miracles, I remember one day I may have showed the group here. I got a gash in my arm about 5 or 6 inches long. Because of, I was sawing a piece of lumber, and I was holding on to the wrong portion because it was too big. I was cutting off a piece that was too big. I was cutting a small piece off of a big one, and it spun around and hit my arm with a, it cut me good, and then flew up against and hit the wall. And I instantly thought, that could have hit me in the face. Could have blinded me. But the Lord saw fit to have me standing far enough away that it would just get my arm, but he let it get my arm so that I could realize what it could have done. And I praised him for that. I didn't swear when that happened either.
Well, praise the Lord, it wasn't worse. I remember being out in the back part of our country, of our property, and was making a path right along a stream bed, and I needed to shore up the hillside so that the path would be level instead of on an angle, so it'd be easier to walk. And in order to do that, I needed to cut a strip of wood from one of the branches or one of the roots that I could pound into the ground to use as a shelf, and I can put the dirt up next to it or other pieces of wood up next to it and make the flat walkway. And this one particular branch was still green, so as I would use the handsaw to cut it, it would bind after I got down about, half an inch, because the fibers of the green, moist particles of wood fiber would bind up the handsaw. So I found that I had to get kind of a running start, right? I had gloves on. My other hand was down here, and it was on an angle. So I was doing it this way. And what happened was I put so much force on the downward stroke that the blade, it was about a 18-inch blade, the blade bounced and slid down the stick all the way to where my hand was. And I had a glove on. It was a rawhide glove. The saw, instead of going onto my hand itself, went onto my thumb and stuck there. So here's the blade in my thumb going through the rawhide glove. So I knew that it had got me, right? But it could have been across my hand this way. It just landed on my thumb. So I pulled it off And of course it started bleeding, and went home, washed it off. I should have gone to the hospital to get stitches, but I was able to put it back together and hold it together with a Band-Aid. It could have been so much worse because the amount of force that I did on a downward angle, it could have sliced more than what it did on the thumb. And on the particular part, right along the edge here are nerves. It could have severed a nerve, which means my thumb would have been useless. As it was, it just barely grazed a nerve. It didn't cut it all the way through. It just grazed a nerve. And this happened like 3 years ago. I still have a little tiny bit of numbness here. It took 2 years for the numbness to go away to where I could have feeling back. But it could have been so much worse than it was. And praise God for allowing me to still have the use of my thumb and my hand. So even in things that are negative, you can find a positive to praise God about. If you get sick, you can still find a positive in that because there's so many more people that are worse off in sickness than you are. So even if you have a deadly disease, you can still praise God because there's other people that are worse off. They have a worse disease than you have. So I praise God for tempering, for lessening the negative from what the devil wanted it to be. And that is a cause for rejoicing, dear ones. So praising God is as much a duty as praying to Him. And who would like to read the next two paragraphs?
These exercises drive back the power of Satan. They expel the spirit of murmuring and complaint, and the tempter loses ground. They cultivate those attributes of character which will fit the dweller on earth for the heavenly mansions. Such a testimony will have an influence upon others. No more effective means can be employed for winning souls to Christ as our testimony.
Amen. Amen. So let's examine these a little more closely here. These exercises, praising God, the living testimony, drive back the power of Satan. So if you recognize you're being tempted, start praising God. Find something to be grateful and to thank God for it. You'll be driving the power of Satan from you by turning your attention to God and having a grateful heart. So then Satan comes to you and does what? He inspires within you the spirit to murmur, to complain. So when you find yourself kind of bent out of shape and you start to complain, find things to complain about, you find yourself murmuring because things aren't going the way you want them to, or something isn't happening that you really want it to happen, that's not from God. that murmuring is from the devil. That complaining spirit is from the devil. And the more you murmur, the more you complain, the more you're allowing Satan to work in your heart, and the more miserable you become. Not only that, but your murmuring and complaining affect others in a negative way. So when you find yourself in a mood to complain and to murmur about things, recognize it's the devil tempting you to do that. And one of the best ways to get the devil to flee from you is to draw nigh to God by praising him, glorifying him, thanking him. Now the devil's going to say, you don't got anything to thank God for. He's going to try to keep you focusing on the negative so that you'll complain about it. You're going to have to force your mind in a different direction. You're going to have to force your mind to look away from self to God. And then you're going to have to engage your memory, your discernment, to find something in your life to praise God for. Are you living in a home? You have a great chance to praise God for giving you a home to live in. Do you have food on the table or food in the pantry? You have cause to thank God for that and to praise him for his love for you. Do you have a family that loves you? Praise God for it. So as you now turn your attention away from things to complain about and focus it upon things to be grateful to God for, now the power of the devil on your heart is broken. You're drawing nigh to God. And God is drawing nigh to you, and thus there's no room left for the devil. So when you praise God, it drives back Satan from your heart. And he then loses ground in your life. And the more you cultivate these attributes of character, being grateful to God, praising him, avoiding murmuring and complaining, you're fitting yourself up to be a citizen of heaven. So then when you give your testimony on the great things God has done for you, that you used to be a murmurer and a complainer, but now you find everything to be grateful and thankful and to praise God for, your testimony will influence others and win them to Christ. Better than a sermon can. So don't let Satan have a single inch of ground in your heart. When something negative happens and he tempts you to focus on the negative and then to focus on how it affects you, how you feel about it, all of that. Don't give in to that temptation. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on God. And then the devil's going to lose that battle. Christ is going to win that battle with you. And now you have a testimony to give to others that will win them to Christ as well. So when the storm is severe over your head, the power goes out, you can praise God that the storm is only going to be temporary because the sun still shines above it. There's still fair weather above the storm. You can rest assured that it's only temporary because God is in control. That's something to praise his name for. That's something to give thanks for. And that means the devil has lost that battle.
You know, Elder Rob, I have to share something. Sometimes, like, when you're walking and either smiling in New York City, somebody says, "What are you smiling for?" "Good morning. What is it good for?" I say, "You're breathing." But the whole thing about it is that people are going to manifest what is in their heart. And sometimes when things going bad and you singing, it is very annoying also to individuals that are having hard time. But you know, that's, to me, is always an opportunity to turn around. This whole week has been a week of testimony. I'll just give one really quickly. There was an explosion in the street right across from where my mother, I'm still trying to find out where. It shook the building. It shook the building so much. It was in the nighttime. And it woke up my mom. And my mom got up and she was trying to be able to find her shoes, you know, to be able to look and see, kind of find out what's going on. There was a neighbor, by God's grace, that called her because she didn't know that my mom lived alone, to see if she was okay. Now, the thing that was amazing is that there was no elevator and she's on the third floor. And we had to go and do what we had to do because this week was going to be a really, really hot week. So we were trying to do everything so like that everything will be okay with my mom. And my sister, my older sister and I, we went shopping with her and we had to have a shopping cart. We didn't really kind of like, it didn't get that into our minds that we were supposed to take that shopping cart upstairs until when we got close to the building. Then we realized, oh my God, there's no elevator. Do you know when I really saw that the Lord was there and he was going to help us? They had this shiny boy, forgive me. They had someone that went and delivered food in the building. And they usually just like pass you straight and leave. He took his time and waited and kind of lift up the cart just for the first stairs coming in. And then I said, "Lord, I know you're here." So when we turn in the corner to come up now, I said, "Shella, Joshua, I know that the Lord is going to remind me when I used to take the shopping cart. Joshua was in a stroller. My grandmother was in a wheelchair. And we was in sixth floor. So for my grandmother to be able to know that she was okay, I said, Grandma, sing. And then my grandmother. Mother will be singing for me to know if she stops singing, something is wrong. And forget, she used to say, "Summertime, when the living was easy." So once she started to sing, I knew she was okay. So I take Joshie up, put him on, like, right the door, then go downstairs and get my grandmother. My grandmother said, "So who's going to help us?" And then in my mind, I said, "Oh, you're going to learn Jesus today because you're going to come upstairs with me." And my dear sister Grace taught me, Rosie, try, you don't have to pick her up. Elderly people like to have something to grab to let them know that they are secure. So let grandma hold on the rail and then you use your hip like a lever. Like you just push her up a little bit and she will go. Now, in my mind, I was being tortured. I said, oh my God, that thing is dirty. People spit on it. And even though I'm thinking, I'm going up the stairs till we get there. This is what the Lord brought to my mind. If you can do this with your grandmother and Joshua, you could do it. And I said, but Lord, that was 24 years ago. I'm not even that young. Do you know? He reminded me how to take that shopping cart. I said, Father Jesus, I'm so glad that maybe we getting old, but you don't get old at all. So anytime when we need to have some kind of encouragement or push, it kind of reminds us the Holy Spirit, Jesus. The good thing about it is that I was able to carry that grocery upstairs with the shopping cart, and I didn't even feel it. Praise God for that.
I think many of us could write episodes of our life of the amount of time God has been present in certain dilemmas that occurs to us, strengthen us, fortify us, and give us the way to face unknown problems. And this goes for every living soul. If you can count the blessings you have received in your life and see the hand of God taking you out of problems you wouldn't even imagine that you could be saved from. That is the God that we have. Why we should praise Him. And don't wait for a special incident or moment to praise Him. Praise Him even when we might think that He's not present. Just keep on praising Him over and over again. Because what He has done for us, each one of us, might seem to be a miracle, but it's not. It's the love of God for us. And that's the amazing part of the whole situation. God loves us more than we love Him. And if you haven't done this, you can start today. And don't count what you didn't do. Count what you can do. Praise Him.
Amen. Amen. So something to think about here. The devil can't force us to give in to his temptations. And God can't force us to resist the devil's temptations. It's our choice. So if we're tempted to do something wrong, there's a battle that goes on. The devil can't force us to give in so that he can dwell with us. And Christ can't force us to resist and draw nigh to God so that God could dwell with us. Whoever we choose, we then have their presence in our midst. Psalms tells us that God dwells in the praises of his people. So when we choose to praise God for something, we're asking God in that praise to come and dwell with us. And God will. So then the devil has to flee if God dwells with us, right? But if we, instead of praising God, if we choose to complain about something or to murmur about something or whatever temptation the devil brings to us, if we give into that temptation and we complain, we're offering praise to the devil. He then comes and dwells with us, which means God has to flee. So whoever we give into, we have their presence in our midst. If we give in to God and praise him, he dwells with us. If we give in to the devil and complain and murmur about things, then he dwells with us. Who do you want to dwell with? It's your choice. Do you want to be happy and full of joy? Then praise God. He'll bring those kind of atmospheres down to you. But if you want to be miserable and you want to make people around you miserable, then don't praise God. Praise the devil by murmuring and complaining. By being down about things. And then he'll dwell with you and you'll be miserable. So it's your choice, dear ones. The best way is to praise God. Well, next time we'll pick it up at this next paragraph that's about halfway down on page 300. Well, no, it's like a third of the way down on page 300. And the paragraph starts out, we are to praise God by, and then we'll find out what the by is. It's by tangible service. So you can praise God by your actions, not just by your words. And that's a whole nother subject to think about. So that's where we'll pick it up next time. So about a third of the way down on page 300. So praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him. All those who dwell on this earth below, praise him above the heavenly host. Praise our Godhead for their great love, mercy, compassion, and tender regard for you and me. Praise ye the Lord. And who would like to offer closing prayer?
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us so many reasons to praise your name. We praise your name when things are good. We praise your name when things are bad. And thank you, Lord, for making things better, because everything goes better with your love. Thank you, dear Lord, for all of these blessings. Thank you for all of our brothers and sisters who are here today, and please bless those who could not make it. Thank you for keeping Sister Yee safe. Be with those who are worried. Help them to know that you are in control and you will never let anything happen that isn't for our good. Thank you, dear Lord, for this great love. Be with us now as we go into the next portion of our meeting. And thank you, dear Lord, for giving us a mouth to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Let us take a 12-minute break and then return back here at 12 noon Pacific or 3 p.m. Eastern time for our main church service. And we'll be having part two in question and answer. So if you've written down your questions, please make sure you have them available for the service. So we'll see you in about 12 minutes, dear ones.